I'd like you to take your Bibles this morning and turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 2. Hebrews, chapter 2, verses 5 through 13. We'll read together on verse 5 and every other verse down through verse 13. Everyone, please. For unto the angels hath he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. But one in a certain place testified, saying, What is man, that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him. Thou madest him a little lower than the angels. Thou crownedest him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him for whom all things, and by whom all things are all things, in bringing many sons unto glory, to make a captain of their salvation perfect through suffering. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he is not ashamed to call them brethren, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the church will I sing praise unto thee. And again I will put my trust in him, and again, behold, and the children which God hath given me. This morning I want to bring a very simple message, simply called Jesus. The veteran. Jesus, the veteran. You may be seated. Veterans Day, as all of you are aware, November the 11th, is observed in the United States in honor of veterans of the armed services and in commemoration of the armistice that was declared in World War I in 1918. In 1954, it was renamed from Armistice Day and given the added significance of honoring veterans. I was listening to one of my friends online, and he referred to today, that day, the 11th, as Armistice Day. So a country still call it that, but not in the United States. I want to say this morning, as I've said so many times, I am so thankful to be an American. I've been in a socialistic country. I have served the Lord there as I went on mission trip, Brother Penn. And to be honest with you, I want nothing to do with socialism. It always broke my heart every time America took a left turn to socialism. Socialism is just another name for communism in my own thinking, in my own mind. But I'm thankful to be an American. I'm glad to be called an American. And I thank God that I was born in the United States of America and that I have grown up in a free country. I listened to a radio broadcast on Friday morning, one that I contribute to every now and then by things that I will write to them. And my last request of them was, could you play Robbie Heiner singing, I'm Just a Flag-Waving American? And of course, I didn't hear back from them, but the last song they played was Robbie Heiner singing. I wrote him a quick thank you and said, thank you so very, very much. And I'm just so glad to be an American. I am. I'm not trying to be arrogant about it. But I am so thankful to be an American. Back in the 1960s, I don't know who coined the phrase. It might have been the John Birch Society, which everybody criticized back in those days, except those who believed in it. It was America, love it or leave it. Many a bumper sticker was put on a car that said, America, love it or leave it. I am of that persuasion. I do not have that bumper sticker on my car, but that's something that I believe. I also want to thank God for the men and women who serve and who have served in the armed forces here in the United States of America. I really am thankful for them. There was a time in my life when I thought I got drafted. I'd graduated from high school, and we had gone on a short vacation, my parents and I, down to Tennessee. And on my way back, we got into the house, and we opened up the mail, and I had a letter from the U.S. government. And I opened it up, and I thought I had gotten drafted. It was from the draft board. And they had changed my status from 1H, which I believe meant I'm on hold, to 1A, which meant that I would go if. I called a friend and I said, I think I just got drafted. But I didn't get drafted. I left and went to Bible college that fall. And I'm glad that I did. But I thank the Lord for the men and women who have served, who have gone to the foreign fields, and even here on American soil. And they have served our country and been willing to give all. A number of years ago, someone wrote a song. I don't know who wrote it. I think in my mind I know who sang it. But it said, all gave some, but some gave all. And our veterans are the ones who gave of their, not their lives, but of their living in order to protect our freedoms and to take care of us here in America. I stand in this pulpit today, not just because of the Lord, and I do give Him the honor and the glory for my freedom to stand here. But I can stand in this pulpit today as a free man and preach the Word of God because of the men and women who have served in our armed forces and kept our freedoms. Let freedom ring. And I really mean that. And I want to thank you. I want to thank them for helping to preserve the freedoms that I enjoy. And America may not be perfect, and may is probably not the right word, because America is not perfect. She has lots of warts, lots of problems, lots of things that are not right, but she is still free. And I'm very, very thankful for that. I didn't walk into this church today wondering if someone was going to meet me at the door with a gun and say, deny Christ or die. The people in our church who greet me at the door, who carry a gun, are there to protect me and you in this church family. And I'm glad that they are. And by the way, they have the freedom to carry. They have the freedom to have those arms that they carry with them. And I'm so thankful for that. But the veterans are the men and women who have given their lives time, not they're given their life breath, because they're still alive and all that. We honor those on Memorial Day who have died or gave their lives in war times. But I'm so thankful for the vets. I really honestly am. Who've given of their time and efforts to keep America free. But as she stood at the top of Pikes Peak, and if you've never been to the top of Pikes Peak, you need to go. Catherine Lee Bates penned some of the most beautiful words that we as Americans have ever sung. Oh, beautiful for spacious skies, for amber waves of grain, for purple mountains, majesties above the fruited plain. America, America, God shed His grace on thee, and crown thy good with brotherhood from sea to shining sea. And as she wrote, God shed His grace on thee, certainly that is a true statement. We've seen God's grace on this country. We're undeserving as a country. Many have turned their backs on God. Many have turned their backs on God's moral standard, turned their backs on God's living standard. But yet God has shed His grace on this great country. And God has shed His wonderful grace on this country of ours. And I thank God that I was born in America. And the freedoms that we take so lightly today were bought and paid for with the blood of the men and women who died to keep us free. And those men and women who yet serve in the military on foreign fields, and those even right now are standing in the face of adversity and war times and all the rest of it, they're there to keep us free and to help us remain free. And I thank the Lord for them. I really honestly do. I never served in the military. I told you I believed I almost got drafted. My draft status, my card was changed from 1H to 1A, which meant they would have called me if, but it never ifed, you see. Catherine Lee Bates went on to write, O beautiful for heroes proved in liberating strife, who more than self their country loved, and mercy more than life. I'm glad to be an American. I love that flag back here on my right and on your left. I'm glad on Sunday mornings in our Sunday school hour, we begin Sunday school by saying our pledge to the American flag, our pledge to the Christian flag, our pledge to the Bible, the Word of God. And those pledges are right. In times past, we have had those in our church who would not pledge to the American flag. The only pledge they wanted to make was to God himself. But I guess they missed the point. Somewhere along the memo, they didn't get the memo. I'm glad for the colors that the flag represents, the red and the white and the blue. There's another veteran, though, that I want to honor today. And he deserves the honor that we will give him, all of it, and more. And he fought many battles on our behalf, and yet he lives. His name is Jesus, as we read a moment ago, the captain of our salvation. And for these years now, a battle has been raging. And the songwriter even put it in those words at one point, in a different context. The battle is raging. It is a spiritual battle for the eternal, never-dying souls of men. On one hand, there's the God of this world. He's the enemy. On the other hand, there's the captain of our salvation. And he is the vet who has fought and lives yet today. I'm thankful for him. And I think we neglect him far too often. Yep, Jesus went to war, but yet he lives. He went to war for us in the manger. In the manger? Yes, even in the manger. From the very beginning, the God of this world has tried to stop Jesus. If you're any kind of a Bible student at all, you know the stories that are in the Word of God. And knowing of the battle of the Son of God, Satan has tried to stop Jesus from the very start. From the very beginning of time, from the very beginning, he's tried to stop him. Think about that. He incited Cain to kill Abel. So Jesus' family tree had to be carried through Seth. And he did carry it through Seth. And every attack on Israel in the Old Testament was an attempt to destroy the chance of Jesus coming. And when Jesus was born, Satan tried to kill him by inciting Herod to kill all the babies that were 2 years of age and under that were in his jurisdiction. You see, baby killing is nothing new to Satan. And baby killing is nothing new to Satan's crowd and Satan's followers. In Matthew 2 and verse 16, the Bible says, "Then Herod, when he saw that he was mocked of the wise men, was exceeding wroth and sent forth and slew all the children that were in Bethlehem and in all the coast thereof from 2 years old and under, according to the time which he had diligently inquired of the wise men." Baby killing is nothing new. It's been around for a long time. It didn't start with Roe v. Wade, and it didn't end with the change of the going to the states. Baby killing has been around for a long, long time. But they tried to kill Jesus, and it didn't work. Jesus went to war for us in the wilderness as well. You know the story. If you have your Bible there, you can go to Matthew chapter 4. You can follow along as I read. What an interesting story here. In Matthew chapter 4, beginning in verse 1, we find the captain of our salvation fighting a battle with the God of this world. That's right. That battle never really ended. Satan hates Jesus and all that he stands for. And oh, if he could only stop him. "Then was Jesus led up of the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he was afterward and hungered. And when the tempter came to him, he said, 'If thou be the Son of God, command that these stones be made bread.' And he answered and said, 'It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God.' Then the devil taketh him up into the holy city, and setteth him on a pinnacle of the temple, and saith unto him, 'If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge concerning thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone.' Jesus said unto him, 'It is written again, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God.' Again the devil taketh him up unto an exceeding high mountain and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world." And by the way, as the God of this world, he could do that, and that's what he did. And it says he showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them, and saith unto him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then saith Jesus unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Tried to stop him there. Bow down and worship me. I can give you all the kingdoms. Go ahead, jump off the building. Go ahead, do some kind of a miracle. Do that. But Jesus won again. So he was battled with it. He fought while he was there in the manger. Secondly, he went to war for us in the wilderness. But thirdly, Jesus went to war for us in his earthly ministry. In his earthly ministry. John chapter 10 and verse 31, if you have your Bibles there. Time and again, Jesus' life was threatened by the enemies of the cross. Yet his very life was threatened. And the Bible says in John 10, 31, it's only one of many instances in which he was close to death. And it says, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. But his time was not yet come. It wasn't time for him to die. No, therefore he escaped out of the hand of the enemy. Number four, Jesus went to war for us in the Garden of Gethsemane. What an incredible story in the Word of God. I referred to the painting that was painted for our family by one of our neighbors many, many years ago of Jesus kneeling down and praying at a huge rock in the Garden of Gethsemane. And Jesus knew what was ahead of him, and he asked his Heavenly Father if there was any other way, if there was anything else that could be done to accomplish our salvation. But no, there was not. And in Matthew chapter 26, I'm going to read with you verses 36 through 44. It tells us of the battle. Then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto his disciples, sit ye here, while I go and pray yonder. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith he unto them, my soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here, and watch with me. And he went a little further, and fell on his face and prayed, saying, O my Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as thou wilt. And he cometh unto the disciples and findeth them asleep, and saith unto Peter, what? Could ye not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. He went away again the second time and prayed, saying, O my Father, if this cup may not pass away from me except I drink it, thy will be done. And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them and went away again and prayed a third time, saying the same words. He endured it all for us. Incredible story. But Jesus did ask his Father, isn't there another way? Isn't there another way? No, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. I know he understood that, but think about the physical suffering he was about to go through. The cat of nine tails, the rod, the crown of thorns, the spear, the sword, all those different things. And he endured all of it for us. And he didn't give up, and he didn't quit. Jesus also went to war for us on the cross of Calvary. In chapter 26 of Matthew, verse number 53, these words are written where Jesus said, thinkest thou that I cannot now pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? You know, many, many years ago, I preached a sermon that was simply entitled, What Jesus Could Have Done. What Jesus could have done. Someone says, oh, he set his face like a flint to go to Jerusalem. He had to do it. No, he says here, this is what I can do. He said, I don't have to do this for a bunch of wicked sinners that hate me. I could call to my Father right now. He would send me more than 12 legion of angels. How much is a legion? I don't know. The songwriter doesn't have it right, but he put it in words that rhymed for a song. Where it simply says he could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. 12 legions of angels is far more than 10,000. I tried to study it out as I prepared for the message this week, and I wasn't satisfied nor happy with giving you all the infinitesimal numbers that were included in a legion back in those days. But the truth of the matter is, that's what Jesus could have done. And then he would have lost the battle, you see. But he didn't lose the battle. It was there that the God of this world thought he had the captain of our salvation beaten, but he did not have him beaten. Not at all. The sixth battle was this, was that he went to war for us in the tomb. He went to war for us in the tomb. Death is final in most cases, but certainly not in this one. The songwriters have reminded of this. Churches sing it in their throughout the year, but mostly on Easter. The song, "Christ arose, lo, in the grave he lay, Jesus, my Savior, waiting the coming day, Jesus, my Lord. But up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. Vainly they watched his bed, Jesus, my Savior. Vainly they seal the dead, Jesus, my Lord. Death cannot keep his prey, Jesus, my Savior. He tore the bars away, Jesus, my Lord. And up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph o'er his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lives forever with his saints to reign. He arose, hallelujah, Christ arose. He did not lose that war. He did not lose that battle. We sing the song, "He Lives." We sang it last Sunday morning here at Timberline. I serve a risen Savior. He's in the world today. I know that he is living, whatever men may say. I see his hand of mercy. I hear his voice of cheer. And just the time I need him, he's always near. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives. He lives. Salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives? He lives within my heart. Rejoice, rejoice, O Christian, lift up your voice and sing eternal hallelujahs to Jesus Christ the King, the hope of all who seek him and the help of all who find. None other is so loving, so good and kind. He lives, Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. He lives, salvation to impart. You ask me how I know he lives within my heart. A song that was written after a man heard a preacher say that he didn't believe that Jesus was alive. Told his wife what he heard on the radio. He sat down and wrote this song, and it's blessed our hearts ever since. There's another battle that I want to give you that our veteran, Jesus, fought and lived through. Jesus went to war for us in his resurrection. He went to war for us in his resurrection. Take your Bible and go to 1 Corinthians 15. Often, 1 Corinthians 15 is merely requoted as a chapter on victory and not quitting. But chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians is a great chapter on the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And it's very, very true. 1 Corinthians 15, verses 52 through 55, it says, "In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Where is, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" You see, he endured that. He didn't stay in the tomb. He didn't stay dead. 3 days later, he said he raised it up after he had been put to death. And during those 3 days, Jesus did a lot of activity as his body lay in that tomb and as his spirit was wandering, going different places. We don't know all the places, but we know some of them according to the Word of God. But what happened 3 days later? The stone was rolled away. And Jesus came out of that grave, out of that tomb, a victor, or the dark domain, as the songwriter put it. The captain of our salvation is the victor, because it says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. He's the veteran, the one who went to war for us, the one who gave himself willingly for us, the one who even beat death and the grave. And today he lives within my heart. He's alive and well and sitting at the right hand of his Father up in heaven, even at this moment. And he stood up to greet Stephen when Stephen was stoned to death. And I believe he'll stand to greet us as well. You see, the veterans who fought for our country have guaranteed our freedoms. Jesus, the captain of our salvation, has fought for our eternal life and guaranteed our freedom from the wage of sin, which is death in hell. What is the wage of sin? Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. But, thank God, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. My hat is off today. If I had a hat on, I'd take it off and I'd wave it. But my hat's off to Jesus, our veteran, the one who won every battle, the one who went into those battles willingly, even the one where he said, Father, if there's just any other way, can we do that? But then he said, but not my will, but thine be done. He is the captain of our salvation. He's Jesus, the veteran. And on this Veterans Day, may we not forget what those men and women gave of themselves in times past. That today, I always enjoy a newscast when they will pull a veteran up from World War II. Or they'll have the oldest veteran that was still alive from such and such an era. Or one that fought in this war. One that was maybe in Vietnam. One that was in World War II. One that was in Korea. One that was in any of these other, the Afghanistan and all the rest of them. I'm so thankful for these folks who have served their terms and their times. But why? Was it for their own gain? No. Was it for their own good? No. It was in order to keep America free. And we stood this morning and said, I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America. We stood and said those words because we live in a free country. And there are those that want to take that away from us. And I want to thank the Lord for those who have stood to keep America free. I am so thankful for them. And on this Veterans Day, if you know a veteran, if you know someone who has served in the armed forces at one time or another, be sure to do and say when you see them, thank you for your service for our country. Thank you for giving of your time and of your life blood and of your strength and of your courage to help us here. Why? Because they have done so. I'll go into a restaurant and they'll say, do you want a military discount? And I say, I'm in the Lord's Army. Does that count? And they say, no, that doesn't count. I went into one restaurant one time a few years ago, and I said, the Lord's Army. And the girl looked at me like a calf looking at a new gate. I said, don't you know that song? She says, no, I've never heard that song before. And so I started to sing it. I didn't sing all of it. And nope, I've never heard that before. No, I've never been in the military. But I may never march in the infantry or ride in the cavalry or shoot the artillery, and I may never zoom over the enemy, but I'm in the Lord's Army. And I thank the Lord for each veteran represented by our church family, by their friends, by our friends, those men and women who have served and are serving right now in this great country of ours. We have a lot to rejoice for today, and a lot of it is because of what was given by these people who stood in our place. We didn't go to war, but they did. We didn't go to a foreign country to protect this country, but they did. And those that we know have done those things. We have our freedom today because of that. And I'm very, very thankful for it.